Let's go now to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 7 and 8. And the Bible says in Matthew 7, chapter 5, verse 7, says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And this is a work that the Lord does in our hearts. It's not about us. It's not about what we could do. It's a work that the Lord does in our hearts. Now, before we move on tonight, it's good for us to understand what is a beatitude. And the dictionary defines the beatitude, or a beatitude is a blessedness, is a benediction, is a grace, an exaltation, a supreme happiness, supreme blessedness. And here we are going through the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes focuses on what we are, not merely in what we do. See, the Beatitudes are a test of our character. It's actually who we are inside that is going to show on the outside. It is all about who we really are inside. It is actually not about what we look like to others, but what is inside your heart. It's an inward change that God does in our hearts that produces an outward impact. So look at verse 7, because Jesus, as we continue through these blessings, he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." So our first point tonight is very simple: show mercy. I mean, this is a paradox here, because like every other blessing, Jesus is calling us to be merciful. And he is saying, if you show mercy, you are blessed. I mean, in other words, if you show compassion, if you show interest in the life and the needs of others, you will be blessed. If we sympathize with the afflictions of others, whether it's church people or none, we will be blessed. I mean, if you think about the word mercy, the word mercy means to give help to the afflicted and to rescue the helpless. Mercy is compassion in action. Now, it's good for us to have a little bit of the background, the history, because it's going to help us understand better the statement that Jesus just made, "Blessed are the merciful." Listen to what it says, a popular Roman philosopher. He called mercy the disease of the soul. It was the supreme sign of weakness. Listen, mercy was a sign that you did not have what it takes to be a real man, and especially a real Roman. The Romans glorified manly courage, strict justice, firm discipline, and above all, absolute power. It says that they looked down on mercy, because mercy for the Romans was a sign of weakness. And weakness was despised above all other human limitations. Even it says that during the Roman history, the father, listen to this, the father had the right of, they call it patria opitestas, which is basically making a decision whether he wanted his newborn child to live or to die. In their history, the man, the father, had the right to give a thumbs up or thumbs down whether he wanted his newborn child to live or to die. So here's the father, thumbs up, let her live. Thumbs down, kill him or kill her. I mean, think about this. And Jesus is making the statement, and he says, "Blessed are the merciful. Where the Romans had the mindset of weak, of not being a real man, Jesus says, you need to show mercy. I mean, citizens were able to kill their slaves. In that time, even husbands, if they wanted to kill their wife, they were able to do that. I mean, bring this to our day today. Look around, read the news, talk to people around you. I mean, just think about abortion. We are seeing and living in a merciless attitude and world where there's no compassion, where there's no mercy. And God is calling us as His children. Blessed are the merciful, those that show compassion. I mean, think about Jesus Christ, our greatest example, the greatest illustration, Jesus' example of mercy by healing the sick, feeding thousands of people, transforming tax collectors, prostitutes, bringing hope and peace. Mercy is meeting people's needs. It's not just feeling for compassion. Mercy is not just simply feeling compassion for others. It is showing compassion. It is not only sympathizing, but helping. It is giving food to the hungry, comfort those in need, love the reject, forgiveness to the offender, companionship to the lonely. It is a great virtue. And Christ Himself displayed that for us. And He is calling us tonight to show compassion, to be merciful. Think about your salvation. You heard the good news of salvation, the gospel. God offers sinful people eternal life. God, by His grace and His mercy, He opened your eyes to the truth of the gospel, and you believe and you repented from your sins. You received the gift of salvation by faith, by putting your trust in Jesus Christ and saved by the power of His resurrection. And now the gospel should compel all of us, because of God's mercy, to be compassionate, to show mercy to others. Remember Lamentations 3, 22 and 23? Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions, He says, fail not. They are new when? It says, every morning, it says, great is your faithfulness. You see, you don't have to be smart to show compassion. You don't have to be intelligent to show compassion. You just have to have a heart willing to be merciful and compassionate to others. Listen, if you are saved by God's grace and His goodness and His mercy, there is a call tonight to be merciful, to show compassion at work, with your neighbors, the people around you. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, but when He saw the multitudes, what happened to Jesus? He said, He was moved with what? With compassion. For them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And verse 37 says, listen, it says, then He said to whom? To His disciples. He said to His disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Who are His disciples today? Us, you and I, we are. And Jesus is turning to us tonight. He said, be merciful, show compassion, as you preach the gospel, as you share with others the good news of salvation, as you help the helpless. Psalm 41:1 says, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble." Proverbs 14:21 says, listen, "He who despises his neighbor sins." But he says, "But he who has mercy on the poor," it says, "happy is he." Help the needy ones. Acts 20:35 at the end of the verse says, "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is blessed, it is more blessed to give than to receive." I mean, even to our enemies, even to people that we don't like. Matthew 5, 1 John 2, we don't have time to go there, but it says to pray and to love and to consider our enemies. Listen, loving our enemies, loving somebody, someone that we don't like, it doesn't come naturally, right? It's not something that comes from us. It's something that has to come from someone else. It's something supernatural that is the word of God working in us at the moment of salvation and continue to do that where he says, show mercy and compassion to all. There's a book that I read many years ago by John MacArthur, and the title of the book is The Quest for Character. And he says in that book, mercy is one of the great virtues that stems from the heart of God himself. Psalm 45, verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Remember the verse in Micah chapter 6, verse 8? He says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Number one, do justly. Number two, it says, love what? Mercy. And to walk humbly without the Lord. To show compassion, to be merciful. Now, let me make a point here. Because I'm not saying that we are going to let everything pass because of mercy. When there is sin, and God wants you to confront or be a blessing by talking to someone, you show mercy, but you speak the truth in love. You're not going to pass in because, well, we all need to be merciful. We want to show mercy. Yeah, I understand that. But God wants us to speak the truth in love, to show mercy and truth. But you know, the thing about mercy is that you cannot give what you don't have. Because this is a test of your character. And God is saying, blessed are those that showed interest in the needs of others. I remember during our years in Guam, working at the ministry, Harvest Ministries, in the 8 years that we were there, my wife was able to, 1 year, to teach sixth grade. And out of all the students in sixth grade, there was a Chinese girl, and the Chinese girl also had a younger sister at the school. And my wife connected with her, and she was helping this Chinese girl as well, not only with the classes, but also with English, as English was her second language. And in that time, during their year, the Lord was able by his grace to help my wife lead this girl to the Lord. And then time went, and my wife was able to lead the sister to the Lord. And we got connected with these girls, and when Brooke, our oldest, was born, they all wanted to be in our house to be with Brooke and see the baby, and we got connected with them. But you need to know that her parents were not together. Her mom was in China, and her dad was in Guam with them. Her dad was working in a Chinese restaurant, and then just out of the blue one time, the dad decided to move here to the States. And it was hard. It was really sad for us and for them, because they got to call us Mama Peña and Papa Peña. That's how they call us still till today. So they went off to the States, and we encouraged them. We challenged them. Hey, get in a church. Find a Chinese church where you go so you can get plugged in and grow. And it wasn't easy. It took of our time when they were in Guam, because we had to pick them up to go to church and take them back to their house. We need to ask permission all the time. It wasn't easy. But we wanted to show some compassion and mercy. God, by His grace, saved these two girls. And till today, they're plugged in into a Chinese church in Boston. And they call us every time I have a birthday, or my wife has a birthday, or one of the kids. They call us, and they actually send us gift too. They just called my wife this week, saying they want to come visit us next year, in January. I don't know why they picked that month, but that's when they want to come. You know, the verse finish, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive or obtain mercy. You know, we already received the greatest mercy and compassion from our Lord Jesus Christ. But in a practical way, God shows Himself kind and merciful towards those that show mercy. James 2:13 says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. But it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Listen to Psalm 18:25. It says, with the merciful, you will show what? Mercy. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if all of us tonight will go out of this auditorium with a heart and a mindset, the first need that I see out of these doors, I'm going to show compassion. I'm going to show mercy. I mean, can you imagine if Brookside Baptist Church is known by a compassionate and merciful church? Can you imagine if we all live like 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, that says, and now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Is love. Is showing mercy, is showing compassion. Show mercy. But look at verse 8. As the Lord continues with the Beatitudes, He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not only the challenge tonight is to show mercy, to be mercy showers, but also to live a pure life. In the same book, The Quest for Character, John MacArthur says, this statement seems to rise above the other Beatitudes and summarize the truth contained in all of them. Because this verse right here, verse 8, is actually a call for a clean and a pure heart. I mean, if you think about the theme holiness, it's from Genesis to Revelation. It is all over the Bible, the theme of living a holy life. We are justified, righteous only by the Lord. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people. And it says, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See, this word pure, or the phrase pure in heart, has the idea of cleansing from dirt, from filth, from the contamination. It also means not to mix, to be honest with your whole heart heading into one direction, not divided, not dirty, not contaminated, free from any impurity or worldly things. Remember the passage in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9? The heart is what? Deceitful. Above what? All things. And desperately what? Wicked. And there is a question in that verse. Who can know it? He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I tested the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. That's why these Beatitudes are a test of our character. Because it has to happen a change in the inside so we can make an impact on the outside. See, the heart of the believer needs to be clean, purified. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are what? We are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But it says, and the Lord has laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of all. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and what? And just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 4, 23 says, keep your what? Your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Listen, my dear sister and brother, your desire as a Christian should be to keep your heart clean, to keep your heart and your mind and your body pure for the Lord, before the Lord, set apart to be sanctified. That's why 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16 says, but as he who called you is what? Holy. You also be holy in some of your life, in some areas of your life. No, the text says, in all your conduct. Because it is written, it says, be ye holy, for who is holy? For God, I am holy. He's our standard. We should follow God. We should be under God, under his word. That's why it's so important to be careful what we watch, what we hear, our relationships with other people. Now, the Bible says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. There is a call tonight also to be holy, to be set apart. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does, it says, is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of who? The Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. He says, but you are bought with a price. He says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, it's a daily confession, confessing our sins every day, getting up in the morning, confessing your sins, submitting to the Lord, submitting to his word, striving with the power of the Holy Spirit, not just to show mercy, but to live pure in this world. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a what? A clean heart, O God. And what he says, and renew a steadfast spirit. Spirit. Where? Within me. Within my heart. That's why Jesus says in verse 8, blessed are those kind of people, the pure in heart. And here's the promise, and we're done. It says, for they what? Huh? For they shall see God. That's the promise there. For those that are saved, those with a clean and a pure heart, we shall see God one day. See, we have, as Christians, we have a new perspective. We have a new heart, a pure heart at the moment of salvation. And I know we're in the flesh. I know we'll sin. We're not talking about perfection here. We're talking about being sanctified by the Word every single day. John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. But the promise here is that one day, those with pure heart will see God. Where no man has seen God, we have the blessing. That's why Jesus called, blessed are you. Happy are you. You have all the happiness in the world because one day we will see God face to face and we will worship God for eternity. Praise the Lord. But there's also a wrath. There's also a wrath for those that do not have a pure heart. And it's in Romans 1:18, talks about the wrath of God against those that reject His word, the gift of salvation. But God is calling us as believers to live pure in this world. If you're here tonight, my friend, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, there is a call for you tonight to come to Jesus. Repent from your sins. Receive the gift of salvation. If you're here and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, like I said earlier, it's not about perfection, but it is about a life that is transformed by the power of God to go forth and show mercy, to show compassion, and to live pure and holy, set apart, sanctified in this present world. Remember Moses in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. We don't have time to read them all, but it says that Moses made a decision. And the decision was, instead of following the world and the temporal things, he decided to follow the Lord with God's people and to lead them. But Moses was able to do that because he wasn't looking at this world. He wasn't even looking at God's people. That would have discouraged him right away. He wasn't even looking at, wow, what can I get from this? No, he says that he did that because he was looking at whom? He was looking up. He was looking at the one that called him to do that task. He was actually looking at the reward that he would have one day. So can you imagine if us, as God people, we decide tonight, blessed are the merciful. I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to show compassion to the needy. Because we will be blessed by the Lord. There's a promise. And God is going to do it in His own time and in His own purpose. But He says, live holy, be pure, set apart, looking to the promise that one day we will see God face to face, and we will worship him forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. And we praise you for your word. Help us, Lord, to show mercy, to live pure, set apart, holy people of God that desire to show mercy, compassion, and to live our Christian life where others don't just see us, because it's not about us, but to see you through us. So if you're here tonight and you want to know more about salvation, the gift of salvation that God, through his Son Jesus Christ, offers you today, we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to sit down with you and share the good news. But if you're here tonight and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray that there's, if anything in your life that needs to be changed, confess, any areas in your life where your heart is not pure or is not showing mercy and compassion, that you will do business with the Lord tonight, at home, before you go to bed, that God will give you a heart that show mercy, show compassion, to live pure for the glory of God. Father, thank you for your word. May we be people tonight that will show mercy and live pure for your glory. In Jesus' name we prayed.